Hi, everyone. You are listening to the Christian Rocketeers podcast, where we impart, inspire, influence, and impact your Christian nonprofit to skyrocket to the next level. I am your host, Shawnee Pinkasek, and I am so glad you took time out of your busy day to tune in as we impart wisdom to you to help you be the nonprofit leader that God has inspired you to be. My guests today are two women with a powerful story of how God brought them together to launch an organization to help grieving families. You aren't going to want to miss this incredible interview with Lisa and Christine from Brave Together. All right, everybody, thanks for hopping back with us. As I told you before, today I've got two incredible women with me who are helping to heal the hearts and lives of grieving parents, families, and those who just are suffering from deep loss. So I'd like to welcome to the show my friend Lisa Price and Christine Bain.
Hi.
Thank you, ladies, Hi. For joining me today.
Thank you.
I'm so glad you took time out of your very busy schedules to sit with me. Why don't you tell our listeners, Lisa, we'll start with you first, a little bit about yourself and how God brought you to this point.
Certainly. So my name is Lisa Price. I am from Wisconsin. And in 2016, our daughter in utero was diagnosed with a chromosomal disorder called trisomy 13. So from that point, pregnancy was really scary because we were told, you know, she won't make it. She'll have, you know, facial defects, heart issues, all sorts of things. And so we were pretty much given a grim prognosis and diagnosis. But she was a little fighter and made it all the way till my water broke at 37 weeks and 4 days. And she survived labor and delivery, which they said that could have been, you know, too traumatic and stressful on her heart. And she lived for just under 10 hours. One of our goals was to get her home, and we were able to do that. And she survived in our family home for 30 minutes before she passed away in my left arm, where I have it's covered, but a tattoo of a lion. Her name means Lion of God. As soon as we had our diagnosis, I was looking up names, and the first thing I typed in was like brave, strong, courageous, and Lion of God popped up, and Ari. So her name fit perfectly. So obviously after she took like her last breath, it was kind of like, okay, this is now reality. And it turned into this whole like just devastation immediately. And just kind of going through that grief process of feeling like this is not real, and walking a journey of a lot of lessons along the way. But one of the things that I noticed pretty much right away was I knew I didn't want to spiral into a deep depression from it. I was aware in my past that I did have, you know, bouts of depression and mental health just struggled. And I was really determined that I did not want this to be a reason that's how it would go. I wanted her life to mean more than that. And, more than just being alive for 9 hours and 51 minutes. I mean, she impacted her life so much in such a short amount of time. So I kind of made it my, I don't know, motto, I guess. One of the nurses that was doing an ultrasound once said, this will either make you better or bitter, because her daughter passed away from a very similar diagnosis. And those words stuck with me. And so every day, like I had to consciously do things to choose to go a better route versus be bitter and hold on to the anger. I really did cling to our faith. I think in the moments that she was alive, those were the most at peace I felt. Even though there was like chaos and, you know, bells and things dinging and people running around, our family was at peace because we were all together.
That answered your prayer to bring her home where she could have everybody surrounding her.
Yeah, exactly. But right away, I pretty much noticed that there was like a lack of supports that kind of continued on. Mm-hmm. We attended free support groups and they were great in the beginning. But as you go to them, new people keep joining, obviously, because death happens.
Yes.
And it started to not be supportive anymore because it was just everyone introducing themselves and saying their stories, which, like I said, is so powerful. But there was no like, and now what do we do with this pain? Mm-hmm. And now it kind of remained on the why, which I don't think was helping our family. So I became a life coach, knowing that I wanted to help other bereaved parents because I had an inkling that I wasn't the only one experiencing this. And just really wanted to take the pain and use it for a purpose greater than I could even manage. So that's where God came in too. Like I said, my faith has strengthened. There are times where I still question and I get mad, but I have conversations with God and, I think he'd rather have it that way, that I have a conversation with him versus turn the other way. So, after I became a life coach, I got certified for a specialty of like grief and bereavement and started my own life coaching practice, designed my own, online program that, focused on the heart, mind, body, and soul, with videos and worksheets and had small group coaching and one-on-one coaching. And I did that for about 2 years. And then I became burnt out, and really needed to lean on other people and support of the community. And so I decided to not fold the business, but just shift and, really thought deeply about, hey, how can I turn this into something that others can get involved in, and decided to go the nonprofit route. But even in the beginning stages of figuring that out, I felt something's not right. Something's off. And so, Christine and I met through our grief and we've known each other, 5 years. It was after my daughter died that we really had an introduction to each other. And when I was thinking of shifting from the business side to a nonprofit side and it didn't feel right, I was like, I think it's because she was missing. And so we were sitting actually at her table where we are right now. And I just looked at her. I was like, do you want to do this with me?
Well, lots of good things come from sitting at tables. So Christine, why don't you tell us a little bit of your story of how
sure.
you've walked through grief and gotten to where you get to help others?
Sure. I was a missionary in Senegal, Africa, and I met my husband there. He was my instructor at the gym. And then I brought him back here and we got married. We have 3 wonderful children, and he was the healthiest man I knew. And he was diagnosed with stage 4 esophageal cancer. And he battled for 18 months. And passed away. So I think like Lisa said, after he passed away, there isn't much support for young grieving widows. And like she said, there's groups you can go to and you just keep introducing yourself over and over and over. And you kind of just sit in your grief, where I knew I wanted to do something with that grief and that pain.
Yeah, it's okay to sit in it for a season, but you sure. need to find the steps, and you ladies do that very well. I can relate. We lost a child in, I think it's 2018, somewhere around there. But it was very hard. It was a very hard season because I was pregnant, and it was the first time I had to give birth to a child that was not coming home. And the support was there for a season, but because I was only around 17 weeks along, they basically said it doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. You know, it matters, but it doesn't really matter because, you know, it's not a 40-week old baby. So let's, you know, it was hard. I mean, it was hard to process and mm-hmm. left me feeling a little empty for a while. So I am very thankful for both of you and the work that you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you.
So Bereaved Together, how did you come up with the name? Because it has such a powerful just, it's so powerful. I mean, your logo stands out. Lisa, when you and I, you know, when we talk, you've got the lion behind you. So how did everything come together to make what you guys have today?
Well, I think obviously the word bereaved is used when it talks about people who are grieving and mourning the loss of someone. A lot of people actually don't even know the word bereaved until they are bereaved. Bereft, I think, is the word. But right away I noticed, just from coaching for the years that I did, I used the word bereaved and noticed that the word brave is in the word bereaved and how appropriate, because no one chooses or asks to have this journey put on them. But how brave of someone to choose to every day say yes to life when it's really hard. And obviously the word together, because the community is huge. Having a community that rallies around you and that lifts you up. I mean, she came up to me in the middle of a gym or after a class at the gym, and asked if I was Ari's mom, if I was Chase's mom. I knew her husband. He was our boot camp instructor, but I didn't really know Christine. And right away introduced herself, asked how I was doing. A stranger asked me how I was doing, more than friends, family. So right away,
those divine appointments that God puts together to bring you to where you are today.
Yeah, for sure. So community together, bereaved together, and the B-R-A-V-E and bereaved is highlighted.
Yeah, it's so beautiful.
Thank you.
All right, everybody, we're going to take a quick commercial break and we'll be right back with more from Lisa and Christine.
Why become a sponsor at Mercy's Light Family? Sponsors at Mercy's Light Family are ending sex trafficking. They are healing girls physically, emotionally, spiritually, and financially to put them back on their feet in just 3 short years for themselves and their babies to be self-sustaining. That's what you get at Mercy's Light Family Sponsorship. In addition to that, you get a prayer card with the story of your girl or your baby so you can pray over them. You get behind the scenes access to be able to see day-to-day life in Kenya and what life is like for the girls at the house and how they're developing. You get that and so much more. Join us in sponsorship today.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Christian Racketeers podcast. If you just tuned in, I am here with my friends Lisa and Christine. Welcome back, ladies.
Hi.
All right. So why don't we talk to you? We're going to dive in right now on the mission and vision of your organization and where you see God taking you in the future.
Sure. Our mission at Bereaved Together is to offer transformational hope and healing for bereaved individuals, as well as advocate on their behalf to their support networks with various wellness-based activities, resources, services, opportunities to empower healing. And our vision is embrace grief, equip hearts, and empower healing. Together we are brave.
I love that. It's so powerful, and it says so much in just that short statement.
Thank you.
So when someone comes to an event, I know you guys have done conferences and events already.
Mm-hmm.
What does that look like when someone comes? You just did an incredible event here not too long ago.
We did.
Do you want to share?
Sure. We just had a widow's event, and we called it The Holidays Are Hard. It was right before Thanksgiving, and we held it just at a little location. Our gym has like a private room. And so the women that came, it was open to men and women, but only widows showed up. But we did just like an intro in the beginning. Everybody kind of mingled for a little bit as we did check in. They got to know each other, introduced each other, and then shared a little bit of our stories. I know that that is not like our main focus. So we do give space for everybody to at least mention their loved one's name. But then from there, we take it into a wellness activity. So we did a candlelight yoga that was led by one of our board members, who's a yoga instructor. And then after that, we went back into the room and did a kinetic energy release type of creative art activity. We smashed ornaments. but before they smashed the ornaments, they wrote on the outside of them either something that someone said to them that they're holding on to, maybe any guilt that they felt from the loss of their spouse, maybe something that they never said to their spouse, just anything that they really wanted, that they were feeling, but then really wanted to release. So that demonstrated that was demonstrated through the smashing of the ornament. But then from there, I don't know if you want to.
Sure. Then we put all those broken pieces and made an ornament for their Christmas tree, symbolizing that broken things are beautiful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then we had dinner together and had more time to just let everybody share in the sacred space, because I think grief and healing, while messy, is done better together. And they were just able to just enjoy one another's company. And just after, I mean, we had a photographer there, obviously, just to capture some of the moments. And one of the beautiful moms, women that were there, the first photo of her was just kind of heavy, you know? Mm-hmm. And then there was another photo of her with a little smile on her face talking to another mom. And then the final photo was actually of her laughing. So it just kind of captured exactly what, mm-hmm. sorry.
It captures the process. I mean, the pictures you shared with me even make me tear up, because you can see on her face, you can see she came in heavy.
Yeah.
She found that she had community. You know, someone else knew what she was going through.
Yeah.
And then she was laughing because she found that she could laugh in the storm. And that's so powerful. Oh, yeah. That's why what you're doing is so key.
Thank you. Lots of connections made. Mm-hmm. That was nice.
Yeah. And it's key to let people know that, you know, they're not alone, especially in this season. Mm-hmm. I think about, you know, the death of that celebrity, you know, Twitch yesterday has been really on my heart, because his wife, I mean, I can't imagine the grief she's going through right now, losing her husband. And just, mm-hmm. you need to make sure you have that community, like what you've created, Christine and Lisa, to walk alongside them and let them know they're not alone. And what I found is often, like you said, people are with you for a season and they're like, okay, you're good. You know, but grief comes in waves. It doesn't just come and just leave you.
Yeah. And that's really important. Yeah.
Yeah.
Family and friends are there, you know, holding you while it's happening. And then 2-3 years, 5 years, 10 years, you know, the world keeps going.
Yeah. I've had family tell me, just get over it.
Yeah.
You know, I've had family say that, oh, well, you have, you know, 12 other children, which that's awesome. But that experience still impacted me, mm-hmm. yeah. in a way that I can't explain.
Yeah.
And just getting over that alone has taken to where I am today.
Right.
So,
and that's one of the things we always invite anybody who's coming as like a bereaved person to our events to mm-hmm. bring a supporter. So there were a couple mm-hmm. women who came along with the widows, and you know, it's so important for us to not only empower those that are grieving, but those that are coming alongside. So I just think it's so important for them to witness what it is like sitting in their shoes, to see what an event like this can do. And mm-hmm. that it doesn't have to necessarily take an event for them to feel this experience. Their supporter can also give that to them, but maybe they just don't know exactly what to do. So I think sitting in that discomfort and being a part of it and experiencing it alongside of them mm-hmm. speaks volumes, that you show up for your person and not, like Christine said, not just right in the immediate while it's happening and right after it happens, but years down the road, because your grief doesn't go anywhere. As long as you're loving your person, it is with you. But it's also important to empower then the griever to know that it's not anyone else's responsibility to fix this, because there is no fix. It is your responsibility to take ownership of your grief and do the things that you want to do and need to do in order to find healing. So when you attend an event like this or a workshop, you're already empowering yourself and taking the reins, right? Like grief is there, but it doesn't need to be in the driver's seat. So you are taking the ownership of it. And that I think is powerful. You know, you're choosing to honor your loved one by honoring your own life.
That's so powerful and so key. All right, well, why don't we talk? So you guys have just started, you had your business and now it's merged into this beautiful nonprofit. What's been your biggest struggle together so far?
Well, I think in the beginning, it's just all like a lot of the back end stuff, right? Like the IRS. So if it wasn't for Christian Rocketeers, like, and having templates and just examples of things and hearing like, okay, this is the process. I'm so glad that I found Carrie through somebody at our church. And I'm so glad that then I was introduced to you as well, because just the tech side of things, I think, because I took over that in my business and then also in the nonprofit, it's been helpful to have resources that help me. That's like the back end side, but I would say the front end.
Yeah. I think, getting people to take time for themselves to come to our events, to, you know, pencil something in their calendar for them, not their kids, not their spouses, you know? So I think that's important, that we need to realize it's okay to plan something for ourselves, for our healing. And that's our biggest thing, is getting people.
Yeah. I mean, and that was for me coaching. Nobody wanted to, I don't say nobody, because there were women that obviously I coached, but it was really hard to get them to understand investing in themselves to find different healing modalities that help as their grief journey like continues, because as your life shifts and changes, so do your supports and so what those look like. And so that was always hard for me as far as like getting that point across, to tell individuals that you are worthy of finding healing. And then I would say another one is just getting like friends and family. That was one of our first campaigns, was just sending out a friends and family letter. And you know, having people kind of come back with questions, like, because our ultimate goal is to have a wellness space in Wisconsin that offers a variety of, you know, alternative therapeutic healing modalities. And just having people not understand that there's a need for this when 60% of America is grieving the loss of someone significant. So we've had, you know, people ask us, well, is there even enough grievers in the area?
Wow.
That,
especially with what's happened in your area, you would think they would be a little more compassionate. Yeah. I think that's the word I want.
I think it just speaks volumes of how people think grief ends at some point. Yeah. I mean, the world has not done us, they've done us a huge disservice of saying that there's five stages of grief.
Yeah.
We know that that has obviously been talked about, that that was not for the person who's left behind. It was for the griever, the person dying themselves. But just a huge disservice of thinking there is some end point and you're only allowed, you know, 3 days of bereavement or whatever it is. And they expect you to be back to your normal self, where you are forever changed. That doesn't mean that your life is over. It doesn't mean, but you're in survival mode first. And it takes a heck of a lot to start finding ways to live again and then actually thrive. It's so hard. So that's where community comes into play. And yeah, I mean, it's kind of crazy how many questions we've got, like, well, what are you doing exactly? And I'm like, come to one of our events, volunteer for one of our events, and you will see just the importance of community and understanding just different tools, strategies, tips, as not only a griever, but a supporter, to then empower their healing as their grief walk continues.
Yeah, I mean, I think about my dad. His wife has been gone, I believe it's 5 years now.
Yeah.
And ever since she went in for a medical procedure, she went in to have her hip replaced, okay, and did not come home. The doctor had made a medical error, and because of that, she died the next day.
Wow.
And before that, my dad was a happy, you know, very loving person. And since grief, my father is very hard-hearted, doesn't trust anyone, mm-hmm, has very much shut down. And it's a picture of what grief can do when you don't do what you guys do to help heal those hurts. You know, I could say to him so many times, you need to heal. And here's scripture that I can, you know, but I can only do so much as his daughter. You know, I just wish there were more organizations like yours to help.
And no one teaches you how to grieve or how to support someone who's grieving. Yeah. And that's what we're doing.
How do you refuel to keep going when the journey in your nonprofit gets, when it seems like too much?
Well, a lot of time talking to God. And I notice if I don't do my morning, like usually I go in my walk-in closet and I shut both my bedroom door and my closet door. And I call that my secret place time. If I don't do that, I notice that my day just goes awry quickly. But I bounce, two grievers bounce their, you know, what they're feeling off of each other, which I think is another important key, because in your middle of your husband's cancer diagnosis, she's coming up to me after I lost my daughter and she's asking how she can support me, you know, and I just feel like even though we don't fully, I don't know what it's like to lose my husband, she doesn't know what it's like to lose a child, but we have this common understanding that it's hard, and to support one another, I just think is so beautiful. Again, something so tragic brought us together.
To make something so beautiful that is going to change Wisconsin, that's going to go forward and change even more. I see more organizations, you know, branches in your future of just helping change the outlook on grief, because it's not what people think it is. It's not something you just walk away from and it's gone. So what are the miracle moments you both have seen so far in your nonprofit?
Go ahead.
Well, I think the example of that woman Lisa was talking about at the widow's event, you know, just seeing her being comfortable and able to open up and able to go through all those feelings and all those emotions with a community behind her and supporting her. It was powerful.
Yeah. I think in the 2 months that we've been an organization, we've raised $6,500 now to date to help create these events. And I don't know. I didn't think that we were going to get that much support right away. But it's a beautiful thing. And I think God provides exactly what we need at the time that we need it. So
definitely. And more is in your future. So you mentioned your quiet time and how that's key for you. Christine, how do you refuel when it gets tough?
Yeah, I agree. A few deep breaths every chance I get. My spiritual journey, I do wake up every morning and work out. I try to do that consistently, and I feel like that puts me on the right path for the day and sets my mood. And I think, and when you do have those moments, you just got to step back and close your eyes and take a deep breath. And
yeah, and remember that God is with you and that you've got that community support to be there with you as well, which is key. Yeah. Is there a verse you stand on for your nonprofit?
I think we have two.
Joshua 1:9. Be strong and courageous.
And then Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Both two really great verses that correlate together in a mighty way.
We have a shield that has Joshua 1:9 on it because this was Christian's verse, and it's kind of like a nice stress reliever too.
Yeah, worry stone.
Yep. And then Ari's birthday is 4/13, and that was actually my life verse before she was even born, and then it happened to be her birth date, 4/13.
Wow, how powerful is that? Yeah. That's awesome. All right, guys, we're going to take one more break. We'll be right back with our wrap up with Lisa and Christine.
I left my legal career to pursue a higher calling. What changes are you willing to make? My name is Carrie Reichartz, and I'm a Rising Star Lawyer by the Milwaukee Magazine. And I left my rising legal career to make a difference in the world of girls in Kenya. The women I met forever changed my life. I returned to my job and I realized it no longer served me. I knew he had something bigger in store for me. I was called to serve others. So I left my law to begin my own business. I founded two nonprofits, Operation Give Hope and Infinitely More Life. I also began teaching women who are overwhelmed when trying to start and grow their nonprofit to ministry to thrive.
My first nonprofit, Operation Give Hope, tackles systematic spiritual, emotional, and financial poverty afflicting young mothers in Mombasa, Kenya, and helps sex trafficking victims heal. My second nonprofit, Infinitely More Life, operates globally and helps people recognize and reconcile life traumas by working with Christ. I have assisted hundreds in starting their own domestic and international nonprofits.
Are you ready to leave behind the fear and doubt holding you back from starting the nonprofit God has called you to? Join the 8-week Christian Rocketeer Nonprofit Startup Certification. Remember, you are not leaving a career or a comfortable life. You are gaining purpose, passion, mission, and you will be changing the world. Join us today.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Christian Racketeers podcast. We are so glad you're here. If you have just jumped in, rewind, go back to the beginning and listen to the powerful story of my friends, Lisa and Christine, who have joined us today to talk about their wonderful organization, Bereaved Together, and how they are helping to heal the hearts and lives of grieving families. All right, ladies. So we have had a wonderful chat today. I want to talk now about, in your 2-month journey that you've had, what is one piece of advice you would give to someone starting a nonprofit today?
Don't do it alone. Lean on God, lean on other people. I remember right away in the beginning, I can't remember exactly what it was, but I reached out to you guys right away because I had like, I don't know if it was a tech thing or something. Mm-hmm. I was like, you know what? I'm not going to, learning from my past mistakes, try to figure it out because it's going to take me hours instead of just humbling myself, breaking the pride and going to people and ask for help.
Yeah, I think that's a big thing for nonprofit owners because one, they don't want to ask for help because they don't want to invest in themselves, first mm-hmm. of all. And two, most nonprofit owners have that idea of, I'm the lone wolf. I can do this on my own.
Yeah.
I only need a certain amount of people, board members to talk to on occasion, you know, that kind of thing. When really a successful nonprofit is everybody, like you guys have, working together. One of your most recent successes was your social media. Do you want to talk about that?
Sure. We have a board member who is a communications coach for people who are interested in like speaking and especially like girls who are women that participate in pageants. And so she had mentioned that we were looking for someone to volunteer for our social media scheduling in her coaching client's private small group. And one of her clients is a grief counselor, a clinical social worker with the grief piece of it. And she jumped on it right away. And she was like, I'm on it. So we already had a meeting with her and we're going to have another one with her this weekend to just start scheduling things. And it's great to have like a clinical person look at your content. Mm-hmm. I've had that for my business as well. And it just is reassuring that like, okay, even though I'm not an expert in grief per se, I do know what I'm talking about just because experience speaks volumes. So living grief That is my experience. Christine's experience of living her grief makes her an expert in that area as well. So I just think it's reassuring that we have someone who's clinically based, approving all of our content, and she is much younger. So she's, she's up with the times with tech stuff. She's like, you guys.
So we're going to see you on TikTok. You guys are going to be on your TikTok over there.
Exactly what she said.
We're going to be doing grief dances.
Well, I can't wait to see that. That's going to be pretty incredible.
Yeah. So it was amazing.
So in your journey so far, what is your biggest like aha moment that you know that God's equipped you for this journey? Like, is it your story? How do you resonate with the fact that on the difficult days you realize, God, you've brought me to help these women. There's more families that need what my story speaks to.
I think that even on my bad days and when I'm having bad moments, that I'm able to reach out to those that I've met and to mm-hmm. those who know exactly what I'm going through and able to connect with them or, you know, share what I'm going through, and they'll confirm that, yeah, it's okay, but remember, you're going to get through this, and it's okay to feel that, and, you know, to know there is growth in that.
That's so good. So good and so key. All right, guys. Well, we have talked about your social media, so let's talk about that. Where can people connect with you that want to learn more about the work that you're doing and how they can be a part of it, whether that's through donations or just volunteering or even coming to events?
Our website is www.bereavedtogether.org. And then we're on Instagram and Facebook. Bereaved_together is our Instagram, mm-hmm. and Bereaved Together is our Facebook page. There's a donate button on our website, and then also just a way to subscribe to a newsletter. And obviously, if you donate, you'll be, you know, added to our email sequence of just sharing all the wonderful things that are happening at Bereaved Together and how you can also become a part of, you know, volunteering at an event or, you know, just sharing on social media or sharing with others that you know that are going through grief, our organization. So.
Awesome. All right. We're going to leave with one last thing. One thing to that ideal person out there that needs what you guys are doing.
So for anyone out there watching, listening, that is grieving, don't listen to the lies in your head that you are alone and that this is a journey that you have to walk alone. We are here to help you embrace your grief, also equip you with tools, tips, resources, connections, to empower your healing. We don't want you to stay in survival mode. I hope you don't want to stay in just survival mode, and just know that it is possible to both grieve and live at the same time.
And please reach out to us with questions or comments. We're there for you.
Mm-hmm. You're not alone.
So powerful. All right, ladies. Well, thank you both for taking your busy schedule and coming and sitting at the table with us. And we hope to hear more from you again soon.
Thanks, John. All right,
thanks for joining the Christian Marketeers podcast. We will catch you again next week with another brand new episode where we bring nonprofit leadership to the next level. Have a great day.